Well, if you haven't figured it out yet, based on us singing songs like Mighty to Save and Lay It Down, we're going to start a two-week series on stewardship today and tomorrow, next Sunday. We're going to talk about, all right, Mighty to Save, Help Me to Lay It Down. Still nothing. All right, never mind. We're moving on. Tough crowd this morning. We're going to start a series on stewardship, and let me just lay a couple foundational principles out really quickly. Things that I have shared in the past and things that I hope you've heard from me in the past. That when we talk about stewardship, we're not just talking about money. That's a part of it. But stewardship is how we manage all that God has given us. And as I'll mention later in the sermon, a biblical principle is everything, or the world belongs to God and everything in it. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. And so stewardship is our management of the earth and everything in it. It's how we care for it, how we steward it. And so it speaks, we often, because we like alliteration, we speak to our time, our treasure, and our talent as a portion of those things that we seek to give to the Lord, to steward for the Lord. And what I'll be talking about this morning is how this is a heart issue. Primarily, when we talk about stewardship, we are talking about a heart issue. Now, most of you know that I had the opportunity to have a couple months off this summer, take some extended time off. And the last week of that time off, I was invited by a friend to fly out to Lake Tahoe and spend a few days in Lake Tahoe. Now, what I'd like to tell you is that our family, and the Lord convicted me in areas of stewardship when I was in college. And so ever since then, we have sought to tithe, give 10% of our gross income to the church. And that's just a principle that we believe in, and that's how we live that out in faithful obedience to the Lord in this issue. And then we seek to give to other ministries and other individuals and other organizations as a part of what I would call our offerings, those gifts and above and beyond our tithes. And I believe that's the biblical principle that's laid out in the Old Testament, and Jesus comes, and I believe Jesus actually begins to push us even further in that, towards sacrificial giving. And we'll come to that here in a few moments. The reason I tell you that is because I started that principle really before I started working full-time and began doing that with the first paycheck I ever received, it's never felt as much like a sacrifice to me because it's just never been there. That portion of the income has always been given before it really comes to us in some ways. Until I went with a friend to Lake Tahoe this summer. It was one of the most beautiful places I've ever been. I'm surrounded by, at that point in time, wealth. And I'm surrounded by beautiful homes. And I'm eating dinner at restaurants that I typically wouldn't be eating dinner at. Eating the best pork chop I've ever tasted in my life. And I come from a farming community and I've eaten a lot of pork chops. It had things on it that I've never heard of. But it tasted amazing. And I found myself slowly getting drawn into this lifestyle that all of a sudden I was immersed in. I'm like, this is all right. Now, the friend of mine that invited me out there is a business owner, and so he was out there for a leadership seminar. And so in the evenings, I had the opportunity to talk and meet some of these folks and to hear from these business owners. And this thought's going through my mind the whole time. I can do this. Why am I not doing this? Why am I not doing things that are going to bring me to places like Lake Tahoe? And all of a sudden, my idea of giving and stewardship, I found myself questioning. Why? Because my heart was slowly being turned towards all of these things that I was experiencing. Now, I can tell you, I've been to places like Haiti and rural parts of Mexico and in downtown cities in our country and in Appalachian regions and been on more mission trips that I could probably count quickly anyway. And I've had my heart equally turned in those settings to where my desire is to come back and give more and do more and simplify my life even more. And so I've been drawn down that road too. But it always blows my mind when I enter into one of these types of setting, like I was in Olympic Village, Lake Tahoe, how quickly I can be like, I need to figure out how I can do this more often. Why? Because it's a heart issue. Are any of those things bad in and of themselves? No, but when our heart starts turning away, we start walking down a dangerous path. And that's what we're going to look at with the scriptures this morning. As we prepare to turn to those, I invite you to bow your heads and join me in prayer. Lord God, I ask that your spirit be present here in ways that raise our awareness of how you are among us. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to us. And Lord, if there's any sense of conviction here this morning, I pray that that comes from you and the work of your spirit within us. And so that we'll know that it's from you, Lord. And then have faith to step into that. To whatever it is that you're calling us to do, Lord. Open our hearts to hear you, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to be looking at two passages this morning. One of those is from Mark chapter 12. I'm going to be reading, to start with, verses 38 through 40. As he taught, being Jesus, he said, "Beware of the scribes, who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces, and to have the best seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for the sake of appearance say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." And we're going to pause here. Now, many of us probably know what scribes are referring to. But the scribes in that time were religious leaders, and specifically they were the teachers of the law. Highly educated, highly trained, worked on behalf of the temple to teach people the word of God, to teach people the law. And Jesus says at the beginning of this passage, beware of them. Now already we should have some sort of, really? Like, beware of the teachers of the law, beware of the religious leaders. There's something about them that should concern me. And so he goes on to describe them. They like to walk around in long robes. You see, their robes were a symbol of their education. Okay, and I don't know if you've ever been to like a graduation, a master's degree graduation, or even a doctoral graduation, where all of the faculty parades in their robes and all of their tassels and all of the other things that they wear, their hats, and they're neat, and they have all kinds of colors depending on where they went to and what degrees they had. And it's a neat thing. It speaks to the education and the hard work that they've invested to be able to do what the Lord's called them to do. And that's okay. Now imagine if one of those professors decided to wear all of that garb every day. Everywhere he went, or she went, they're wearing this robe and all of this garb and their hat, so everyone could be like, oh, they're one of the smart ones. They're one of the intelligent ones. And not only did they wear it, they go and they hang out in the places in public where the most people are going to be so that they get their attention. And so, you know, the scripture speaks to the marketplace. We might say they go hang out at Walmart or Hawkins or Bueller's or any of the other stores. Or they like to drink their coffee in the coffee shop wearing their long robes so that everyone knows how smart they are. So that people can greet them. So that they're recognized and they receive honor. They want the best seat in the synagogue. Now, when you hear that, you might say they're in the back row. That's not what they're referring to. They're referring to the places in the synagogue where the most people would see them. The places closest to the treasures and the artifacts and the holy relics. It says they go on to talk about these long prayers. Now, I went to a Christian college and eventually became basically a religious major. And I remember at times being in prayer meetings, and all of a sudden it started to feel like a competition to see who could say the longest prayers and use the most theological terms and sound the most holy. And that would be the type of thing these scribes would do. anything they could do or say to receive honor from others. They wanted to have an appearance to the rest of the world that made them look holier than thou. And they took advantage of it. It says they devour widows' houses. In other words, they abused their spiritual power. They abused their spiritual power. Now, I want you to know that it's the desire of my heart that I would never abuse my spiritual power. And so I want to say again, even though I prayed it, that if there's any sense of conviction that comes upon your heart this morning from this word, I pray that that's a conviction that comes from the Spirit. That you would not look upon me as someone who's judging you in this issue of your life, or someone who's trying to use the authority I have as a pastor to heap guilt upon you to act and live a certain way. And yet at the same time, I want to be faithful to bring you the scriptures and to help you understand Christ's teaching in this area. It says they devour widows' houses. They often served as estate planners. And so what they do is they go to these widows and they would talk about how much the temple and the courts and they need their money. And they would talk these widows into giving so that they're giving to the Lord in a way that puts them in harm's way. They abused their spiritual power. And yet, what Jesus is pointing at in the midst of this is they had an issue of the heart. They made everyone look, they wanted everyone to look at them and they wanted to make it look like they had everything in order, that they were holier than thou, but they had an issue of the heart. And that's what Jesus is concerned with. And so when I hear that, I want to say, Lord, guard my heart. Guard my heart from the things that can tempt me and pull me away from your desire for me. And so with that in mind, I actually want to turn to another passage from Luke chapter 12. And I'm going to begin reading verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me. But he said to him, Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you? And he said to them, Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. Be on guard against all kinds of greed. We've all heard the saying, where there's a will, there's a way. Well, I read a commentator this week who said, where there's a will, there are lots of relatives. And that's, we're warming up. More laughter in this one. And that's what this passage begins to tell, this parable about this person who comes. It says, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. And notice that Jesus isn't interested in this debate. Jesus also has no legal authority to make any decision in this case. And so he doesn't have any legal authority, but he's not even interested. And I would say, if you're interested in relational systems and theories, like, Jesus isn't going to be triangled in this moment. This is a great lesson for us. All right, when you're triangled, it means someone comes to you because they have an issue with someone else and they want you to go to that other person on your behalf. And that's not good and it's not healthy. We need to avoid it. Our culture's rampant in it, and so is our churches. All right, but Jesus isn't going to do that. He's like, but he does begin to teach and speak to the motivation. Take care, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. Guard your heart. And then I see quickly four ways that Jesus teaches us in this, how to guard our hearts. He tells them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly. And he thought to himself, what should I do, for I have no place to store my crops? And then he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, you fool, This very night, your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? And so it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God. First thing I see in this parable is the rich landowner who has this philosophy of mine, mine, mine. If you go in to read those verses again, look at how many times he refers to things as his own. And just a little practical thing here in my life is that when I start using too much of that kind of language, it's my money, it's my house, it's my retirement account, it's my, it's my, it's my. That should be a warning to us that we need to have a heart check. All right? Why? Because the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. And as I mentioned earlier, stewardship is our taking care of, is our managing of all that we understand to be the Lord's. And yet this person comes and it's my crops, it's my barns, it's my grain, my goods, my house, my inheritance, or my pension, or my retirement, or my money. And he even speaks to his soul, or my soul. And Jesus says, you fool, don't you know that your very life will be demanded of you tonight? In other words, he's even saying to him, your life's not your own, it's mine. Even your soul belongs to me, and I can demand it from you this very night. So he has a selfish perspective. And he looks upon all that he has as his own and not the Lord's. And for that reason, number two, he misses the opportunity to be a blessing. Because when our perspective is that it's all mine, then we need to try to figure out how we keep it all for ourselves. How do I use it? How do I save it? How can I keep it for me? And his response to that, so I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger ones. But if our perspective is this, all of this belongs to the Lord, and suddenly I have an abundance, the question becomes, how do I steward this abundance? How do I manage it? How do I use the extra that the Lord has blessed me with to be a blessing to others around me? Certainly keep what is needed. But how can I use what the Lord's blessed me with in abundance to be a blessing to others? And he misses the opportunity because he can only see what he wants for himself. It's like, hey, I'm good to go now. I'm going to tear down my little barns, build some big ones, store all of this up, and then what can I do with my life? Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. I'm cashing out, and I'm heading to the beach. And let's be honest, that doesn't sound too bad, does it? But notice that he's struggling to be a steward of his treasure. He's now struggling to be a steward of his time because he's just going to blow the rest of it. He's just going to eat, drink, and there's a time and place for that. But I don't get the sense that this guy is ready to, like, cash it in and be done. I mean, he's ready, but that's not what he's being called to. And so he's struggling to steward his treasure and his time, and this is going to cause him to not steward his talents. Number three, he squanders his gift and his capacity. Squanders his gift and his capacity. You see, stewardship is also about using those gifts and those talents that God's given us. And this person in this parable has the capacity to go and make money, has the capacity to generate wealth, has the capacity to do things so well that the produce is in abundance. And yet, because he sees it all for himself, he just closes that door. Imagine how he could be a blessing to others for years if he continued to steward the talents that he has. Please understand this and hear this. The church, the world, needs us to live into the capacity that we have. The church needs business people who know how to make and generate wealth. needs teachers to educate, needs artists to create, needs all of us to take the gifts that we have and to use them to the greatest of our capacity. There is no sin in using our gifts so well that the Lord blesses us with an abundance. We do things that we do really well and we get paid for it. The issue here is the heart issue. What do we then do with it? Where is our heart upon receiving those blessings? And so we need to guard that heart. This individual had an earthly perspective. He was rich in the world, but those hard, hard words, but not rich toward God. And I don't ever want that to be said of me, that I'm rich in the world, but not towards God. Probably a pretty good chance that no one will say that I'm rich in the world either, but hey, but to be rich toward God. So how do we guard our heart? Our scripture is full of passages to speak to keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, to keeping our perspective on the eternal, on heavenly things and not earthly things. Because the love of money, not money, the love of money, when our heart turns there, is the root of all evil. We will begin to do things and compromise things if our heart goes in that direction. In this parable, this rich man becomes blind to the capacity to give, to bless others, because his heart is caught up on the earthly things. Stewardship is a heart issue. And so if we go back to Mark, we just have an example of what Jesus does set before us as a healthy attitude. This comes right after he denounces the scribes. It says he sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. And many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in 2 small copper coins, which are worth a penny. And then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance. But she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." What an example. Now Jesus speaks to what he refers to as the rich people, and they came and they put in large sums, and that's not a condemnation. You get the sense that Jesus is saying these folks are doing what these folks should be doing. They've been blessed. But you kind of wonder if he sees the same type of sacrificial giving in them that he then sees in this poor widow. For they contribute out of their abundance. She contributes everything she has. Truly sacrificial. All that she has. You see, when our heart is focused on Christ, is focused on the kingdom of God, is focused on loving God and loving others, and then all that we have become opportunities for us to use all that we have to steward it in ways that glorify God, that extends God's love to the world, that participates in God's mission of making the kingdom of God real here on earth. And when Jesus gives us these examples, the person that he raises up, is the woman who puts in what's worth a penny. Because her heart was in the right place, and she wanted to bring before the Lord all that she had. As we just sang right before this, she laid it down. All that she had, she puts before the Lord. That's where I want my heart to be and remain. And I know that I need to be active to guard it. Because I've been in situations where all of a sudden the things of the world look super attractive. It's like, I could get used to that. So I need to be proactive in guarding my heart. And giving sacrificially is one of the ways that we proactively guard our heart in this issue. Protect it from greed. And I would hope that you would consider that in your own life. Yes, to this church and our life and ministry, we've got a lot of great things going on, and I hope you'd be excited to support that. And then also to the world, living generously and sacrificially in all areas of life. And so I'm going to ask Bill to put up just a few questions that I invite you to consider. I know the print's kind of small, but I wanted to be able to leave it up there. Alan, you can come up. As we just go into a little bit of time of prayer and reflection, I encourage you to consider some of these questions, and maybe you can dwell on them a little bit more later. Where is my heart in regards to stewardship? I may know what I'm doing. I may know what I'm giving, but where's my heart? Let's have a little heart check in this area. What are some practical things that I can do to guard my heart against greed? Jesus gives us that warning. What are some practical things I can do to guard my heart against greed? What is my motivation for giving? What is my motivation for giving? Number four, am I being called to move towards a place of sacrificial giving? Sacrificial giving means that it's going to hurt. Like, I have to let something else die so that I can give. That's what sacrifice means. In other words, what's enabling me to give in this area is the fact that I sacrificed something else over here. And might the Lord be calling me to move towards that place of sacrificial giving? And then what might this look like in my life? Those are conversations for you and the Lord. And I hope that you'll take seriously the opportunity to spend some time in prayer and reflection. And we could start that right now. I invite you to spend some time in prayer. Father God, I'm mindful of one of the things that we talk about a lot here, and this idea that we all have a set of core desires, of core longings in our lives and in our hearts that is common to all of us. And it occurs to me, Lord, that when those core longings aren't being met by you, that's when our heart turns towards things of the world. And so I pray, Lord, that you would help each of us to find our security in you, God, and in our relationship with you. Our sense of significance, Lord, would be found in you because we are your children. We are heirs to your kingdom. And there's nothing in this world that can make us more significant than that reality, Lord. And help us to know that to be true. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would work in each of all of us. That you would continue to transform our hearts in ways that make them more like yours. Jesus, you tell us that you give us a new heart. So help us to live out of that, a heart that turns towards you. And guard our heart from greed, Jesus. Guard our heart from greed and guard our heart from the desires that would want to turn to the things of the world to find all that you desire us to find in you. Because really, Lord, that's the foundation of being good stewards. We pray that we will be faithful in all that you bless us with. That we will manage well the earth and all that is in it. Because it all belongs to you, Lord. And I pray that in this and every area of our lives, Lord, from time to time, we will hear you whisper into our hearts, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Continue to pour out your blessings upon us, Lord. Meet us with your presence. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.